Good morning. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell them, Gutom ka na ba? Welcome to CCF. Just tell them, welcome to CCF. By the way, the GDC, the price is gonna go up. So today is probably your only opportunity to sign in. And let me repeat, for you to join this leadership conference is worth every single centavo you will spend. For example, some of our speakers, Ravi Zacharias, you cannot even book him in the States. To attend this seminar, you pay at least $300-$400. You have to pay for plane ticket. You have to pay for hotel. These guys are coming to the Philippines. I suggest you sign up and you will not regret this. But I'm gonna warn you, we are opening this to all churches in the Philippines and abroad. There are already over 1,000 that's coming from all over the world. And more are coming, plus from all the other churches. We want to bless the Christians all over the world in the Philippines. But I'm giving you this secret information. If you don't register now, I can almost tell you, by the end of April, you cannot register anymore. Even though the conference is at the end of May, you will run out of tickets. Is it okay with you? If you want God to use you, please sign up. We are partnering with other churches all over the world to host this conference. When are we moving in to our new conference? April? Really? April 14. Well, first of all, I want to praise God for your amazing response. I did not even announce this. It was just printed in a small piece of paper. And look what happened. Between last Sunday and this Sunday, I gathered that people have volunteered to give 24 units of the 46-inch LED, 1 hectare worth of grass, 1,000 cubic meter of garden soil, 1,500 gallons of paint, and of course, all the previous donors' donations, we praise God for you. You know, some have volunteered to give the tiles, the paints, the glass, all the glass partitions, the sound systems, office furniture, etc., etc. Now, you know who you are, and I want to thank God in your behalf. Praise God. Now, these are minor things that are still needed. Baby changing stations, large format display, LFD screens, the fence, office furniture, classroom tables. By the way, we will begin our school in June. Ages 3, 4, around that age, okay? 3, 4, 5. Please, if you want to sign up now. We will have our school. People don't realize our new worship training center is a school. It's a sports center. We have 2 world-class basketball gym, enclosed, air-conditioned. We have badminton courts. We have gym. It's an amazing facility to transform young men, young women. Praise God? All right, praise God. So, if God has touched your heart and you want to donate some more, please do it before we move in. Once we move in, that's it. How many of you have seen a sailboat? A sailboat, all right? This is how it looks, a sailboat. Now, how many of you have seen a sailboat? Raise your hand. I just showed you, raise your hand. Now, listen, how will you describe somebody who will not put the sailboat on the water just for display in the beach? Would you say that guy's funny? You know, in the Christian life, you and I are made not to stay in our comfort zone, but to go to the sea, to go to horizons where you have never been. But what will you think if a sailor will put the boat on the water and he will use his hand to paddle the water, but he will not hoist the sail? How do you describe such a man? Let me ask you, if you use a sailboat and you leave Manila Bay and use your hand, can you go to Hong Kong? You can try, but I don't think you will make it. But if you hoist the sail, can you make it to Hong Kong? Why? The wind, the power of the wind is there. But to avail of the wind power, you need to hoist the sail. The same thing in the Christian life. You do not manufacture the power. The Holy Spirit is there. You need to hoist the sail. Many Christians are living the Christian life in their own strength. And that's why they are defeated. They are not taught properly. They get discouraged. You see, if you know what is right to do and you don't do it, after a while, how do you feel? You feel like giving up. And that's the problem with many Christians today. This is one of the most neglected topics and the most important topic, the Spirit-filled life. In the next few weeks, our series is on what? The Holy Spirit. So what are we going to do? We're going to expand. People ask me, why are you going to talk about the Holy Spirit? Why not just talk about our theme, knowing God and letting Him be known? Look at me. How can you know God if you don't know the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is what? God. That's what we discussed last week. He's eternal. He's part of the triunity. So you need to know the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, there's no revelation. How can you know God? How can you make Him known? No power. So everybody, what's our series? Experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm going to focus on who is in control. Say that with me. Who is in control of your life? Who is in control? Answer. Don't say my wife, okay? Who is in control? Look at me, everybody. You are controlled by something or someone, whether you realize it or not. For example, for some people, they are controlled by money. They don't know this, but that's their motivation. They make decisions based on maximizing money. They don't mind compromising ethics because money is the one controlling them. For some of you, it's pleasure. Pleasure controls you. That's the most important thing for you. So you don't mind hurting yourself or others. You give in to pleasure. For some, we are controlled by addiction, drugs, pornography. You are controlled. The only question is, who is controlling you? Comprende? Now, this is the irony of life. Unless you are controlled by the Spirit of God, something else will control you. Let me repeat. You cannot live a vacuum-free life. You cannot say, no, nobody's controlling me. Nobody's controlling me. That's not true. Something or someone is always controlling you. For some of you, it's fear. You are controlled by fear. For some of you, you are controlled by insecurity. Believe it or not, you are so focused on how you look. You are so focused on how people will think about you. You are into image management. Well, whatever it is, may I advise, may I suggest, learn the most important principle you can ever learn when it comes to living the dynamic, true Christian life, the Spirit-filled life. Everybody, let's review. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Let us read this together. Everybody, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. As one scholar shared with us, this is the most important verse when it comes to Christian living. You know why? It's a command. How many commands do you see in this verse? Two. The first one is negative. Do not get drunk with wine. The second one is positive, but be filled with the Spirit. Most of us focus on the first one. Don't get drunk with wine. In your desire to follow the first part, you go overboard. You begin to condemn people when they drink. Drinking is not a sin. It's getting drunk. But that's not my point. By the way, my wife and I, as a rule, we don't like to drink. We hardly drink. But that's not the issue. The issue is you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the word filled simply means to be controlled. You are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So turn to your neighbor, ask your neighbor, who is in control? Ask your neighbor, who is in control? What should be your answer? Today, if I ask you, who is in control of your life? What must you say? Holy Spirit. Why? If this is a command, and you are not obeying the command, what are you doing? Louder. If God gives you a command, and you don't obey Him, what are you doing? Sin. Therefore, this command is not for the super saints. It is not for pastors. It's for all of us. However, how come all of us are not filled with the Spirit? Can I tell you why? When you see the word command, what enters your mind? Command. You like it or you don't like it? You know, I've discovered there are many abusive fathers, there are many abusive managers, there are many abusive leaders. That's why young people today react to the word command. They react to submission to authority. But can I tell you something? When I became a father, I began to understand the heart of God. I give commands to my children. For example, would you like to know what are my commands to my children when they were growing up? I tell them, eat vegetables. And they will tell me, I said, no, eat vegetables. Why? Why do I want them to eat vegetables? Because I want them to be miserable? No, I want them to eat vegetables because it is good. Say that with me. It is good for them. I tell them, don't play with the electric socket. You know, my children are curious. They remove the electric bulb, and they like to play with the socket. Okay? So, why do I give those commands? You mean to tell me I want to restrict them? No, I love them. When it comes to God giving us commandments, the devil tells you God wants to control you so that you will not enjoy life. On the contrary, my attitude toward God changed completely when I got to know Him. I obey God's commandments because, number one, it is always for my good. It's always for my protection. It's for me to enjoy the fullness of life, never to restrict me. But you know what? People don't understand the Bible. They think the Bible is old-fashioned, all of these crazy commandments. You will never be filled with the Spirit of God until you change your mindset. You got to have a desire. Principle number one, you got to have a desire. Principle number two, I will teach you, you got to surrender all. And principle number three, you got to do it by faith. Are you ready for today's message? No. If God wants us to be filled, to be controlled by the Spirit, how come most of us are not filled? Is that a good question to ask? You want me to test you? How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Raise your hand. Oh, tingnan mo. Oh, why are you only like this? Oh. By the time the message is over, you'll be different. It's very important. This is not optional. This is not a deluxe version. Are you familiar when you buy a car? They tell you, sir, my option nito. Leather seat, stereo, TV, options. You know, when it comes to the Spirit-filled life, it is not an option. It's not a luxury. It is a must. You need it for your good. Everybody, look at this chart. Most of us are confused. You are confused between the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit. Let me explain to you. What's the qualification? Zero. It's all by grace. For God to come into your heart, it's by grace. For God to fill you with His Spirit, it's by grace. You never think or say, I must be good enough. When I'm good enough, God will fill me. No, no, no. precisely you're not good enough. You need to be filled. It's all by grace. Grace means what? Everybody? Something you do not deserve. When does it happen? Well, the Bible tells us, when you come to Jesus in repentance. You see, in this country, I give you a secret, okay? In this country, people are very sincere. They go to a building every Sunday and they ask Jesus to come into their lives every Sunday. Yes or no? Nothing happens. Their lives are not changed. Can I tell you why? Because to come to Jesus, you need to understand the grace of God. You need to say the grace of God, because of God's goodness, I will now repent and I put my faith in Jesus. Most of us do not know what it means to repent and to trust Jesus. That's how you have the Holy Spirit. You come to Jesus by faith, you repent. You say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. Now, when are you filled? It can happen simultaneously. The moment you come to Jesus, you surrender everything, you are indwelt and you are filled. But for many of us, the feeling comes later. It's another experience. Why? Because then and only then did you realize, you know what? I need the Holy Spirit. I need the fullness. I need to surrender all. Most of us have not surrendered all. You have surrendered 90%, but not all. Fullness happens when you surrender what? All. Is surrendering all an option? Yes or no? It is never an option. As Christians, you are to surrender all. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Can you call Jesus Lord? Can you call somebody boss, boss, but don't follow the boss? Imagine you have an earthly boss. Boss, boss. Oh, then the boss tells you, okay, I want you to go to this place. Ah, no boss, no boss, no. Oh, sinong boss dito? Comprende? What about the purpose? Salvation. Ownership, power, feeling, sanctification for service. Now, don't separate the two. That's continuous. When God comes into your heart, He transforms you. He begins to give you the power. But the fullness is for you to live a holy life. It's sanctification. You cannot have salvation without sanctification. They are opposite sides of the coin, but they are connected. Salvation results in sanctification. You can have salvation and not have sanctification. It's together, but it can come later. Next one, permanent. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. But the fullness is moment by moment. Daily, every day. I'm going to explain this to you. Are you ready? Okay. How do you do this? Everything is by faith. Now, this is the confusion. The abnormal has become the new normal. What do I mean? Let me share with you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Everybody, let's read this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Notice, the Bible wants you to know the Holy Spirit is in your life. That is basic. That is the normal Christian life. Yes or no? Louder. In fact, the Holy Spirit is in your life. Therefore, look at verse 20. Everybody, you have been bought. What? With a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The normal Christian life is somebody who knows, I have been bought with a price. Jesus died on the cross for all of my sins. He paid for all of my sins. He bought me. In Tagalog, tinubos ako. He redeemed me from the marketplace of sin, from the marketplace of corruption. Jesus saved me. He gave me the Holy Spirit as a mark of ownership. This person belongs to me. And the Bible says, because of that truth, what's your motivation? Look at verse 20. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You see, your body is very important. Religion is to do something in order to earn God's happiness. Christianity is different. God is saying, as is, where is. The moment you ask me to save you, I want to save you. You are saved. Because you are saved, your body belongs to whom? To the Lord. Therefore, this chapter 6, the context has to do with adultery. The context has to do with promiscuity. The context has to do with immorality. And God is saying in chapter 6, Corinthians, do you not know you belong to the Lord? Therefore, stop doing what you are doing because you belong to the Lord. You see, Christianity is a relationship with God. If you look at Christianity as a set of rules, I don't do this, I don't do that, you are not going to make it. It's like riding a boat, not hoisting the sail and using your hand, the paddle. No. God wants you to know, I am in you. But what's the confusion? The confusion is this. What is normal, what is important, is no longer normal. What do I mean? Look at Corinthians. What's happening to them? Let's read this together. Everybody, CCF style. Ready? Go. As to men of flesh, notice, Paul is scolding these people. What kind of people? Number one, he calls them brethren. Brethren means what? Are they believers? Are they Christians? Yes. Number two, notice the word. I speak to you as to spiritual men, not as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh. You know why? They have Jesus, but they are men of the flesh. The word flesh is from the Latin word carne. That's why you have the word carnal. They are controlled by their carnal desires. I gave you milk to drink. Now notice, how else are they called? Men of flesh? What else? Infants. How many of you have seen infants? You have seen babies. Come on, come on. Raise your hand. Exercise. Now look at me. A baby is cute. Yes or no? Yes. But if you remain an infant for 20 years, imagine you are a baby for the next 20 years. Is that still cute? No more, no more. Some of us believers, you are a new believer, infant in Christ. God expects you to grow. If you don't grow, something is wrong. This is what I call the abnormal Christian life. You know why it's abnormal? Because the Bible tells us you are an infant, even though you should be teachers by now. Everybody read this. You are still fleshly. There is jealousy, strife among you. Are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like people? What the Bible is saying is, you are like unbelievers. You see, the abnormal has become normal. As followers of Jesus, you and I are to be different. But the problem is this. If we begin to act like the people of the world, the abnormal has become normal, and that's what's happening today. You don't see much difference between followers of Jesus and who are not followers of Jesus. One of the best illustrations I can think of is this one from Campus Crusade for Christ. Look at this chart. The first chart is called the natural man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where is the Holy Spirit? Outside the life. Who is sitting on the throne? Who is sitting on the chair? Yourself. That is the natural person. Once upon a time, all of us are like this. You are the boss of your life. You don't care about God. He's outside your life. Yeah, you see him once in a while on Sunday, maybe, when there's a party, when there is Christmas. Look at the second circle. What do you describe that person? Carnal. Why? Who is in charge of his life? The self. Where is the Holy Spirit? He's still inside his life, but the Holy Spirit is not in charge. What do you call this person? Abnormal and sick. Look at the third picture. Spirit-filled Christian or Spirit-controlled Christian. Who is in charge of his life? Who is seated on the throne? Holy Spirit. What about yourself? Where are you? You are still you, but you are subordinated to the Holy Spirit. This is the normal Christian life. This is what is expected of us, to be filled with the Spirit, to follow the Holy Spirit. Can you ask your neighbor, who is in control of your life right now? Who is in control? Now everybody look at me. Which circle represents your life? Which one? The first one? The second? Or the third? Would you believe me? I met somebody who became a philosopher. Who is a philosopher? He told me, between number two and number three. I asked him, what do you mean between number two and number three? Wala yan ah. Wala yan sa Bible. You know why? Sometimes you are too shy to admit. So he said, in between, when you're in between, listen to me. Either the Lord is in control or he's not in control. Amen? Now, notice. I will now give you the CCF modern version. Who is in control? The natural man, who is the one driving your life? Who is driving your car? Who is driving your life? Yourself. Where is the Holy Spirit? Outside. That's the natural person. He's in charge. The Bible says the Spirit of God cannot enter the life of somebody who do not know the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The second one, the carnal Christian. Who is driving the car? Yourself. You are the driver. You drive your own life. Where is Jesus? Passenger lang. You want Jesus to follow you. This is abnormal. Now, you want a normal Christian life? This is the normal Christian life. Who is driving your life? Answer, Holy Spirit. Where are you? Still there. We have met the enemy. He is us. The biggest barrier to the Spirit-filled life is ourselves. You know, years ago, I went to the New York Zoo. When I travel, I like to visit zoo. So I was in New York. This was years ago. I was in the Central Park area. Now, there's a place, an amazing zoo, and I was so curious because it says, the most dangerous animal in the world. But I've never seen that. So I wanted to go there. I was thinking a lion, maybe, or a cobra. You know, I put my head inside the cage. So in my mind, this must be a small animal. And then you have to put your head in, okay, to see. They said, you know, you have to see, and then you turn. When I turned, I saw a mirror. In that mirror, the most dangerous animal, I saw my face. You are the most dangerous animal in the world. When you wake up in the morning and you look at the mirror, look at me. You tell yourself, you are my greatest challenge. You know, many times you like to blame people. You and I, we like to blame people for our behavior. We blame our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents. Look at me. You are your worst enemy. You have to deal with yourself. Until you understand this, you will not realize you need the Holy Spirit. Because only the Holy Spirit can control you. You cannot even control yourself. You must have this real, humble realization that I am my worst problem. Don't blame other people. So how do you deal with this? Very simple. Everybody read this. Galatians chapter 5, 16, 17. How? What does it mean? What's the evidence of the Spirit-filled life? What's the evidence? I'm going to explain to you. And I'll tell you what it is not and what it is. Are you ready? Let's read this together. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Notice, walk by the Spirit. It's a command. To be controlled by the Holy Spirit, you walk. Look at me. How do you walk? Everybody? Left, right, left, right. How do you walk? Step by step. You walk, you follow the Holy Spirit. Look at the promise. Everybody, read verse 16. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Some Bible have wrong translation. It says, walk in the Spirit and do not gratify the desire of the flesh. No, no, no. If you say do not gratify, that is a double command. No, no. Only one command. Walk by the Spirit. And the result, what's the result? You will not carry out the desire of the flesh. In the original language, you have the word ume, double negative. This is a very strong negative. You will never, ever carry out the desire of the flesh. You see, I cannot control my stuff. But if I follow the Holy Spirit, God promised you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. If you fight yourself, you cannot. You need the Holy Spirit. So you walk step by step. Read the next verse. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now, many Christians are discouraged. You know why? This verse tells you to be filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean you have no more temptation. In fact, you have temptations. The Bible says the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you belong to Jesus and you are controlled by the Spirit, it does not mean you will not have temptations. On the contrary, you will struggle with temptations. The struggle with temptations is a proof of your sonship. You have the Holy Spirit. That's why you are struggling against sin. When temptation comes, you are struggling. But I will teach you how to allow the Holy Spirit to overcome all of this. Notice the next verse. These are in opposition to one another that you may not do the things that you please. You see our problem? You know what is right. You know you are to forgive people. You know you are to run away from sin. But there's a struggle. The struggle is part of the Christian life. Don't be discouraged. The only question is this. When temptation comes, who is in charge? Who is in control? To walk by the Spirit simply means step by step. For example, yesterday, my wife and I had some discussion, and it was minor discussions. After 15 minutes, she came back to my room. She knocked. She wanted to enter the sacred chamber of my study room. Then when she came in, she said, honey, I'm sorry for my reaction. My wife is a woman of God, Spirit-filled, but because she said something that is not so nice, I felt it, she felt it, I knew something was wrong. But you know what? After she left me for 15 minutes, what was the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit is saying, you need to make a U-turn, okay? What you said to Peter was not the best thing. You see, my wife is a Spirit-filled woman, but she is not perfect. She is almost perfect. Understand? Almost. Of course, every week, she is also almost perfect. Like me, okay? We make mistakes. So you make a U-turn. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Then the Holy Spirit tells you, the moment the Holy Spirit bothers you, what must you do? Walk in the Spirit. So you follow Him. So the Holy Spirit told my wife, you need to repent of that. So many people don't understand the simple principle of walking in the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit bothers you, it tells you something you are doing not right. You confess. Now the word confess simply means you agree. Homologeo. I know there are some pastors who are teaching today, you don't need to confess your sin. That is not biblical. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, present tense, to confess is not to beg for forgiveness. Forgiveness is promise. To confess simply means what? To agree. Homo logeo. To agree verbally. To say, Lord, my attitude is wrong. I agree. Then she came to my room. She confessed. Honey, I'm sorry. This is wrong. That's it. That's how you walk in the Spirit. You keep short account. Comprende? Now, look at the warning. What does it mean not to walk in the Spirit? Well, let's read, everybody. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Now, some people say, I don't have a problem with immorality. Well, what about verse 20? Everybody read verse 20 down. Ready? Go. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. How many of you have temper problem? Raise your hands. Higher. Confession time, higher. Way but me. Outbursts of anger. I have good news and bad news for you. What's the bad news? Outbursts of anger is sin. It's the deeds of the flesh. What's the good news? The Holy Spirit can help you overcome outbursts of anger. Now, many people don't realize I have a horrible temper. I box people, understand? I hit people years ago. But you know, something happened to me. I cannot explain this. The Holy Spirit, it's not because I'm the greatest. No, no. Something happened in my heart. He changed my desire. He changed our life. That is the meaning of the Holy Spirit. You just walk with Him day by day. Look at the next verse, everybody. Envying, drunkenness, factions, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. Everybody read. Which I forewarn you, as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to me. Is the Bible confused? Is salvation by good works? What does that mean? Galatians, the entire book of Galatians is to tell us we are saved by faith alone. That's the entire theme of Galatians. By grace alone. How come in chapter 5, the author inserted this verse? I warn you and I forewarn you that those who, underline the word, practice. Everybody read that. Those who practice such things. What are such things? Sin, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, outbursts of anger, etc., etc., will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is there a contradiction? No. The Bible is very clear. Saved by faith alone. But the faith that saves is never alone. Let me repeat. You are saved by grace. You don't deserve this. But grace is never alone. Grace is transformation. It has power to change your heart, to change your desire. And that's why this verse is saying, if this is your lifestyle, you continue to live in immorality, you continue to live with this kind of lifestyle, perhaps, and I'm going to tell you now, the verse is very clear, you don't have life. You don't have the Holy Spirit. Comprende? Therefore, if you know somebody who claims to be a follower of Jesus, but their lifestyle is a lifestyle of sin, you don't even have to debate. I can never assure that person, okay, lang, when you die, you go to heaven. No, no. On the contrary, the Bible says, you will never, ever inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, you must understand grace. We are saved, forgiven by the finished works of Christ at Calvary. He died for all of my sins. But the moment you ask Him to be your Savior, He gives you the Holy Spirit. And you will never, ever be the same. He will change you. Look at the next verse. This is the proof. Everybody, read the next verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Underline, circle, the most important word. But the fruit. What is the meaning of fruit? Let me test you. If I plant a mango tree, What is the fruit of the mango tree? Please, louder. Star apple. Banana. Very good. Now, what if I plant a tree, a mango tree? I put fertilizer, I put water, I put sunlight, but there's no fruit. It is plastic. Plastic mango tree. Understand? If there is life, there is going to be fruit. Now imagine, you plant a mango tree. Every day you use your belt. Pow, pow, pow. Bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. No. Christians, your job is to follow the Holy Spirit. Follow. It is His job to produce the fruit. Now, ladies, be honest with me. Would you like to marry somebody full of love, joy, peace, patience? Yes or no?
Yes.
Where do you find them? CCF. Because CCFers, you are now trained to walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you will not react. You respond. If I'm controlled by the Spirit, example, you step on me, okay? I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit. I'm about to react. Lord, how do I react? Love, joy, peace. Singles, you want a happy marriage? Yes or no? Singles, you want a happy marriage?
Yes.
Louder.
Yes.
You know the secret? Be Spirit-filled and marry somebody Spirit-filled. That's it. I'm so blessed. My wife is Spirit-filled. You know why? If you're Spirit-filled, who controls you? The Holy Spirit. Everybody, look at Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Notice the word used. In the original language, the word walk is different from the first one, walk in the Spirit. This is a military word. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk. This word walk comes from the word, it's like a military term. You march. You don't go ahead. You don't go to the side. You march. It's a military word. You walk. You walk with the Spirit. You don't get ahead. You don't get behind. Marching order. But same idea. It's a command. Walk by the Spirit. The same command. Present tense. Always walk in the Spirit. When you feel like reacting, you walk in the Spirit day by day. Comprende? Now, let me share with you how this is explained in the book of Ephesians. Ready? All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Same idea. Let's read now, everybody. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Now, the word dissipation has the idea of wasting, scattered. You are wasting your life. Now, notice the word. And do not get drunk. Now, when you see the word and, what does that mean? You better look at the previous verse. What's the previous verse? The previous verses tell you, can I tell you? It tells you, don't be foolish. Don't waste your time. But understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine. Comprende? So the context is always for your good. So what does it mean? Look at the grammar. Everybody read. Don't get drunk with wine. For that is dissipation, but be filled. The word filled means what? Control. The grammar is this. It is imperative. It's a command. It is in the present continuous tense, meaning be filled continuously. You can translate this word as follows. Be ye being filled continuously. So, to be filled continuously. It's in the passive voice. Be filled. You cannot fill yourself. Like the wind. You hoist the sail and the wind will carry you. The same thing with the filling of the Holy Spirit. You just surrender and the Holy Spirit will fill you. It's passive, but He will do the filling. Let me give you an example. My grandson, who is now 10 years old, is home educated. I got permission from the mother to explain what happened. Now, being home educated, he studies at home. my daughter Joy is a teacher. And when it comes to assignments and doing the work, sometimes it's hard. So this is what he will do. Okay, example, he has to learn how to write. And then when it gets very hard, you know what he will do? He will put his hand on his head. And then he will do it this way. In Tagalog, minsan, dadabog, dabog. In English, daybog, daybog at times. So it's always a problem. Mom, I cannot do it. Oh, too hard. But this year, something happened after prayer and fasting. He would put his hand here. Go back. And then he leaves the table. He goes to a private room. And then he comes out. When he comes out, you see the smile, and he starts working. The next day, the same thing. Difficult. Goes to the room. Comes back. Start doing the work. No more struggle. So my daughter finally asked him, Elijah, what do you do when you go to the room? This is what he said. Mommy, when I'm frustrated, I go to the room and I pray. I ask God to help me, to control me. 10 years old, he has learned the secret of walking in the Spirit, moment by moment. And now I challenge all of you. I call this the 3-minute interruption. When you are tempted to do something, example, you have a problem with your wife, you're about to react, keep quiet for 3 minutes. Go to a private place, and you be honest with God. Lord, I am angry. I am tempted to be angry. Will you please take over? 3 minutes. If you are tempted to watch pornography, you have your internet. Oh, the Holy Spirit tells you, don't do that. You are struggling. You leave the place. You go to a place privately. You pray. 3 minutes. Comprende? When you are in Mega Mall or in the shopping center, you see a beautiful girl, right? Beautiful girl. You are tempted to follow her. What do you do? Stop. Go to a corner. 3 minutes. Lord, I'm tempted. I guarantee you, your life will never, ever be the same. 3 minutes. People ask me, how do you walk in the Spirit? I remember this analogy, the black dog and the white dog. You see, they're always fighting, the black dog and the white dog. And somebody asks, how do you make sure the white dog or the good dog will win? Very simple. I will starve the black dog. I will not feed the black dog. I will give nourishment to the white dog. It's spiritually the same principle. If you have this nature fighting, example, your problem is sex, all right? What will you do? Look at the principle. You must feed the good one, right? The Spirit of God. Bible study, reading, meditation, prayer. Don't get involved in anything that will what? Whet the appetite of sex. That's the black dog. No pornography. Don't be around people that's going to cause you this problem. In other words, you got to use your common sense. Walk in the Spirit. I'm reminded of the story of this girl. She has a problem with diet, okay? The doctor told her, don't eat sugar, don't eat candy, don't eat anything sweet. But she's addicted, okay? So she began to deceive herself. She said, you know what? I will just go to the supermarket. Okay, I need to buy vegetables. Okay, go to the supermarket, buy vegetables. Now the old spirit says, drop by the candy department, drop by. There's a struggle. You know what this girl will do? Only see. I will not buy. Only see. I will see. So she goes to the candy department. Chocolate. Whoa. Before you know it, I will just buy. I won't eat it. I will just buy. So buy only. Yeah, buy only. So the struggle is, why are you buying? I said, gift. So you buy. You check out in the car. Oh, the candy is now waiting. Please, please, eat me, eat me. That is not walking in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, can I tell you what you do? When you're about to enter the candy department, what do you do? 3 minutes. Lord, I'm about to be tempted. What must you do? Pray. Then don't go to the candy section. Assuming you made a mistake. So it's now in your car. The candy bars are in your car. And the Holy Spirit tells you, what are you doing? Example only, okay? So to walk in the Spirit, what do? You get the candy. Throw it. Give it to those who are knocking. Oh, yes, you're not allowed yet. In other words, obey the Holy Spirit. How often? Moment by moment. And your life will forever change. Amen? I've asked my wife to share with you examples of the Spirit-filled life. Let's welcome Deanna.
Good afternoon. I was privileged, like some of you here, to be raised in a Christian family where my mother and father loved Jesus and they modeled the Christian life. But each of us siblings had to make a choice to trust in Jesus Christ ourselves to be our Lord and Savior. And daily, as all of you, we have to make a choice to walk in the Spirit. Now, some of you have met my father when he was here years ago, and my mom. Well, they followed Jesus to heaven. They're in heaven now. But today, I'd like to let you meet my brother and sister and hear their experience of walking in the Spirit through trials. Can you play?
Hi, my name is Denise, and I live in McCall Creek, Mississippi. But I'd like to just talk to you briefly about an experience in my life and God's grace. In 2001, I went into the doctor for some swelling in my neck. They said, oh, we don't think there's anything wrong, but let's just check it to make sure. Well, there was nothing wrong with my neck, but in the test that was run, the technician had scanned too high, and I found out, by God's grace, that I had a brain tumor. The tumor that I had and still have, which is in a dormant state now, is called a meningioma. It was wrapped around the fourth nerve to my left eye. My carotid arteries were encased. My brainstem was distorted. All of these things that they told me, and I didn't have a clue that I had this. But, you know, God is good. And he says in his word that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I knew from the get-go that I was his creation. But through all of this, God is still on the throne. And he gave me a peace that only comes from him. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, and that's my Lord Jesus Christ. He gave me a peace, my family a peace, that is not explainable. It's strictly through his grace and through his indwelling within me as his child.
Hello, my name is Marvin Howard, and it's good to be able to speak with you today. I live in Mississippi, the southwest corner of Mississippi, and I pastor Mount Zion Baptist Church in Franklin County. In 1997, after having had good health all of my life, except for asthma mainly, I started bruising real badly. Went to my primary care physician, and he had enough sense and under godly leadership to send me to an oncologist in Jackson, Mississippi, where I received a diagnosis after a bone marrow aspiration of hairy cell leukemia. It was amazing to me that from the moment that he spoke those words, the peace of God that passes all understanding came over me, and there was no fear. The scripture that really came to rest in my heart immediately was in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And it was amazing to lay hold of that. What that meant to me was if God spared my life and kept me here, I would serve him, which I had already been doing. If he called me into his presence, that would be great gain for me. And so I realized immediately that I was in a win-win situation. I went through chemotherapy 7 days, 24 hours a day, around the clock, which pretty well wiped out my bone marrow. By God's grace, it grew back what we thought was healthy bone marrow. But in 2003, which was 6 years after my initial diagnosis, I began having a series of skin infections that were not clearing up very well, and then I had a life-threatening MRSA infection. I was referred again to my oncologist, and they did another bone marrow aspiration and discovered that my leukemia had come back, or perhaps had never really fully gone away. All the comfort that the Holy Spirit had given me was there the second time around, in fact, in a much stronger way. About the time that I was supposed to leave the hospital after my chemotherapy, I started running a fever, and the nurse explained to me that that could be life-threatening. I already knew that if it had been a lung infection or kidney infection, because my white count was down to 500, which was one-tenth of what it should be. I had nothing to fight it off, and so I had to stay in the hospital that night after I started running a fever. I woke up in the middle of the night feeling horrible, worse than I've ever felt in my life. And I got up and went into the bathroom and looked in the mirror, and I kind of laughed and I said, "Marvin, you're going to have to die to get better." But still I had that peace. It was just the Lord and me. I hadn't been around any loved ones. I climbed back in bed and I said, "Father, if it's your desire to call me home, I'm ready for that. I know that's going to be a gain for me. But if it's your will, I would love to see my family again and to grow old with my wife and to see my kids grow up. And but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And I lay down in the bed and I went to sleep. And I woke up 2 hours later and the bed was wet. I was wet. My fever had broken. And of course, I praised the Lord for that. And there was not a medical explanation for that. The same thing happened the next night. The same peace that came over me the night before came and rested with me again. Those of you that are listening to me, the day will come for you, or perhaps you're facing something like that now, and I just want you to know that we have everything we need in the Lord Jesus Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, and the Holy Spirit is indeed our comforter, our paraclete, the one that stands beside us. And
so today you meet them through testimony, but I have known them up close and personal. My little sister, Denise, when they found out she had brain tumor, she had an operation. They thought they got it all. They found out it was not gone, so she had to have another operation to cut open her head, and it was very traumatic. Afterwards, she was dizzy and could hardly walk, so she had to use a walker. There was paralysis in her face and her eye, but you saw her smiling in the video, right? And I have seen her smile through all of her trials. Her last one was Gamma Knife. She had a Gamma Knife, which was very painful, but I never heard her complain. Up till today, I have not heard her complain. Her tumor is still there, but she walks by faith in God, surrendered in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is joy and love, and she's one of the most caring people I know. You see, when we have faith and we entrust ourselves to God, then we're able to think about other people. And that's my brother. I saw him when he had hairy cell leukemia. When he was under treatment in the hospital, he was in bed with a hospital gown, IV, but he heard of other people in the hospital who were in distress and needed comfort. And so my brother, in his darkest moments, because he was controlled by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is kindness and goodness and faithfulness, he got out of his bed, he wheeled his IV to the other rooms and was ministering to the patients in the rooms. This is only possible through the Holy Spirit. And up to today, he still has leukemia in remission, still serving God faithfully. Now you might think, this is extraordinary people. No, they're ordinary people like you and me. But we become extraordinary. We do extraordinary things when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's what they are, and that's what we can be. So I pray that all of us would learn to really walk in the Holy Spirit day by day, moment by moment. To God be the glory. God bless you.
My wife and I saw firsthand how they responded to trials and problems. Do you know my sister-in-law was, when she came out of the hospital after a couple of months, her face was paralyzed. Imagine, ladies, you wake up in the morning and your face is crooked, your mouth is crooked, your one eye is crooked because the nerve has been affected. You cannot smile because it's crooked. I mean, be honest with me. Can you rejoice in the Lord? But not my sister-in-law. Never a word of complaining to God. She loves the Lord. She thanks the Lord. Why? When you are filled with the Spirit and you are squeezed, what comes out is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Look at what the Bible tells us. Everybody. After Ephesians 5:18, these are the evidences. Not just love, joy, peace, patience, but these are evidence in action. Look at this. Speaking to one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart. A spirit-filled person is a joyful person that money cannot ever buy. So the Bible tells us the disciples, everybody read this. The disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That is the heritage of every child of God. Joy, peace, love. That is our heritage. You are my child, God is saying, I give you the power. Look, Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things. Do you notice the evidence? Gratitude, thankful heart. I have a problem with two words on verse 20. The first one is always. You know, to give thanks is one thing, but to always give thanks, like my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, always give thanks. And then notice, give thanks for good things. Is that what it says? Read. Give thanks for some things. Give thanks for all. The good and the bad. Why? If you are controlled by the Spirit, you have amazing confidence that God is in charge. He is in charge of your life. No matter what happens to you, God has a purpose. And you can honestly say, Lord, I thank you. And then look at the next verse. What does it say? Be subject to one another. In other words, there's humility. You listen to each other. Do you understand? Ephesians chapter 5 is God's prescription to live the Christian life. Why? Because look at the next verses. It talks about what? Relationships. Husbands, wives, Ephesians 5:22 to 27. Then the next chapter, chapter 6, children and parents, employers and employees. Notice, guys, God says, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled day by day, moment by moment. Your life will be characterized by joy, peace, understand? And it will be tested in family relationships. It will be tested in committed relationships. You cannot say, I am happy when I'm alone, and when I'm with people, I am miserable. No, no, listen to me. Christianity has to do with people. So example, husband and wives. Gentlemen, what's our job? Husbands, love your wives. Gentlemen, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to love our wives. Amen? Because sometimes they're lovable, and sometimes, I have to be careful, sometimes only. Wives, what are you commanded to do? Wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Now, ladies, be honest with me. Do you feel like submitting at times to your husband? Of course not. It takes what? The Holy Spirit. You say, Lord, I don't feel like doing it. My husband is a jerk. But you ask me, I will do it for you, but I cannot do it. But Lord, here I am, I will do it. You see, you are controlled by the Spirit. You don't like to do it, but the Holy Spirit asks you to do it. Now, what about children? Children, those of you who are staying with your parents, what does the Bible say? Children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. Now, children, be honest with me. You like listening to your parents at times? No. This is supernatural. This is the normal Christian life, supernaturally empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, parents, what does it tell you to do with your children? Tell me. It says, parents, don't exasperate them. Treat them properly. Again, that's supernatural. How do you know you are filled with the Holy Spirit? It will be tested at home. What about employers, employees? What does the Bible say? Employers, how must you treat the employees? The Bible says, you'll be nice to employees. Employees, how are you to treat your masters? The Bible says you work hard as unto the Lord. Don't only work when they're watching you. Respect them. Listen to them. Listen to me. The Christian life is an amazing life. It's a joyful life. Provided you're empowered by who? The Spirit of God. Who is in control right now? Who is in control of your life right now? Louder. Look at the normal Christian life. Everybody, as we close, Acts 11:24. If you are controlled by the Spirit, he was a good man. People will realize you're a good man. Number two, they will know you are full of the Holy Spirit. Number three, they will know you are full of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. This is the normal Christian life. People will say, you are a good man. People will see Christ in you, full of the Holy Spirit. People will see faith at work. And above all, people will be what? Impacted to come to Christ. You become contagious. The Bible tells us numbers were brought to the Lord. Why? Because the Spirit-filled life is very attractive and very contagious. Question, who is in control of your life right now? I'm going to close in prayer. Number one, there may be some of you here who don't even have the Holy Spirit. You pray with me. I'm here to help you. I want Jesus to come into your heart. Number two, the Holy Spirit is inside your heart, but you have been in control. You're running your life. And God has allowed you to come to this time where you realize, you know what? I am so frustrated with my life. I want to change. But until you have the desire, you will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Until you surrender all, you will not be filled with the Spirit. Until by faith you believe that God has the best plan for you and you surrender all, you will not be filled. Are you ready? All right, bow our heads and pray. First, to those who are very sincere, but you are not yet sure that the Holy Spirit is in your heart. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I'm not sure that you are in my life. I may have religion, but I don't have life. I don't see changes in my life. Lord Jesus, will you come into my heart? Be my Savior, be my Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Come into my life. Spirit of the living God, come in, control my life. What about to those of you who have the Holy Spirit, but you are not sure he's controlling you. You are still controlling your own life. Why don't you take some time right now between you and God, you ask God to control you right now. Ask him to take over your life. Confess all unrepentant sins. Agree with him. Surrender to him. Whatever is not yet surrendered. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're in my life. There are times, Lord, when I take over my life, when I'm the one driving. Today, at this very moment, I surrender to you my life. I want to react always based on what you want me to do and not to be in control of my life. I now ask you to control me, to fill me with your Spirit. I surrender all to you. As your heads are bowed down, how many of you just prayed this prayer right now? You ask Jesus to control you right now. Will you raise your hands? Wonderful. How many of you have asked Jesus to be in control right now, or right now you are sure that the Lord is in control of your life, you are filled with the Spirit, he's in control? I want to pray for you. Why don't you stand up? Stand up. If you ask Jesus to fill you, if you know he's in control, stand up. If you want to be sure you are filled, you are willing, stand up. I want to pray for you. Now, don't stand up because many are standing up. It's between you and God, and you say, Lord, I ask you to fill me. I want you to fill me, and I want to pray for you. Now, I do not know how many are seated down. I don't want to bother to look around or even count. But one thing I know, God wants you to surrender all. He wants to control your life moment by moment. If there is anybody here, for whatever reason, you are reluctant to surrender your life, you are holding back on something, I want to ask you a question. Do you doubt the goodness of God? Or do you believe He wants what's best for you? If you believe He wants what's best for you, why not surrender everything? Whatever is holding you back, it can be sin, it can be a behavior, it can be an attitude, whatever it is, surrender that to Him right now. Anybody else? Stand up. I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have commanded us to be filled with your Spirit. And Lord, I now pray for this group of men and women who have signified their desire and their prayer. Answer, and I thank you, Lord, you have answered our prayers. I thank you that you are in control of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you will surely want to control their lives. And above all, Lord Jesus, be the one to transform our lives day by day. As fruit takes time, some of us may take time to manifest this fruit, but as of now, Lord, I thank you that they are all obedient, they are willing to follow you day by day, moment by moment. In Jesus' name we all pray, amen and amen.
Praise God for that wonderful message. Just a few reminders. The tithe boxes are situated around the sanctuary for your convenience. And for the first timers, we'd like to meet you. We invite you to please come to the welcome room just across the sanctuary. Let us all stand. Let's continue to worship. Mark him.
You are the Holy One. You are the living Word. You are the center of our focus, Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are the solid rock. You are the center of our focus, Jesus. Lover of my soul, and I adore you only. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all
about you. You are the center of our focus, Jesus. You are all powerful. You are so wonderful. You are the center of our focus, Jesus. You're the lover of my soul. It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's
All praises to you, Jesus. God bless everyone.